And I'm going to read in your hearing now a new chapter in this letter of Hebrews, or to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 2. I'm going to read the entire chapter of 18 verses, although I'm going to park myself on verse 1 in the message. Hebrews chapter number 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, then every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is now, that is not now put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And may God bless what you have heard. You may be seated. I'm about to begin to try and open up the truth declared in a new chapter of this unique letter of Hebrews in the most unique book you will ever have the blessing and benefit of having in your possession. The written word of the living, true, and only God, the Holy Bible. And in this place of public worship today, you have it in a language, namely the English language, so that you can read it and study it for yourself. Something that all true saved English readers and understanders of the Bible need to thank the Lord God for. Because God has been pleased to allow His unique, only written word to be written in the English language. A language that you can read and understand, and He has been pleased, if you confess Christ here this morning, to open your mind, to open your understanding, to understand and believe what you read. But as well, I think on this particular Sunday, which is the Sunday before the 500th anniversary of the event that has been seen as sparking the Protestant Reformation, namely when Martin Luther took his 95 points or theses and attached them to the door of the Wittenberg Church on October the 31st, 1517. It is good to remember that Martin Luther is but one, but one of the great cloud of witnesses that you and I are surrounded by. For if you confess Christ in this place and are instructed by God's written word, not only to give thanks for all things in Christ Jesus, your Lord, but specifically as well, your brothers and sisters in Christ. So I think it is entirely appropriate, if you are an English reader and an English understander of the English language, which I know and believe most, if not all of you are, or at least learning to be, you should thank the Lord for William Tyndale. You should thank the Lord for William Tyndale, the believer the Lord was pleased to use back at the same historical time as Martin Luther to translate the Bible into the English language, even though it cost him his life in this dying world, to enable you to have a Bible in the language that you can read and understand. The Bible in English. Because of the darkness that was upon the world prior to the Reformation and due to the power of false teachers in both the church and the government, it was a crime punishable unto death to have a copy of the Word of God written, the Holy Bible, in English or any other understandable language of the people. Because as William Tyndale gave the English people the Bible in the English language, Martin Luther gave the Bible to his German people. But all these false and dangerous Word of God hating, devil-deceived men, all that they would have had to have done and needed to do to see how they were instruments of the devil and not the Holy Spirit of God, would have been for them to read or hear and believe what the writer of the book of Hebrews says to those he is writing to in just the first verse of Hebrews 2. Therefore, we ought to give even more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Friends, what demonic blindness was present in the Western world prior to the Reformation and now the blessing of Bibles written in words you can read and understand or hear and understand? Because friends, I ask you, how could anyone do what just this one verse says if they were not able to understand what they were hearing when it is read, either publicly or read privately? What good would it be for me to read to you the Bible in Latin this morning when neither I nor you understand Latin? And yet that is what was going on prior to the Bible being given to the German people through Luther in their language and the Bible being given to Tyndale being given to the English people through Tyndale in English. What good would it be for me to read to you Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 in Latin? How many would you understand it if I read it to you in Latin? Put up your hands. Oh, one person here. Well, praise God. What if I read it to you in Swahili? How many? This one verse shows you how devil-blinded and devil-used men were. To read the Bible in a language that the people could not understand. And even some of them could not understand it themselves. What point would it be reading verse 1 of chapter 2? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest thing heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How do I know if I'm letting them slip when I don't even understand what is being said to me? Oh, what demonic blindness the Lord was pleased to remove when William Tyndale was willing to risk his life so that English reading and English understanding people could have the Bible in a language they could understand. What a sign of the dark times in which we live, in which people don't think the Bible is to be able to read and understand. Because Because when you have a Bible in a language you can understand and it is read and you are properly hearing it and it is hopefully being rightly divided, friends, what do you realize? What do you realize, especially in light of this first verse of Hebrews chapter 2? You realize that it's speaking to you as an individual if you confess Christ. For in this first chapter of this letter that I have called God's final word to mankind, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the author has shown you in chapter 1 in numerous glorious Christ-exalting ways that the Lord Jesus Christ is and always will be unimpeachably superior to angels. A truth he has more to say about in this second chapter. But in light of the first verse of chapter 2, remember, friends, these chapter and verse divisions, as helpful and as useful as they are, did not come from the pen of the Holy Spirit-inspired author when he wrote what you have read, heard read, and hopefully correctly divided from chapter 1. But in light of this first verse of chapter 2, what is the writer doing, friends? What's he doing? He's challenging you, even as he challenges himself, to remember and apply what he has just so wonderfully opened up and declared about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why do I say this? For a number of reasons. First, what is the first word of verse 1 in chapter 2? It is the word therefore again. And when you read the word therefore or hear it read, what should you ask yourself? What is the therefore? Therefore. The therefore is there because the writer in this verse is about to make a pointed and personal application to both himself and those he is writing to about what he has just so wonderfully declared about the Lord Jesus Christ. And although I've already mentioned this, don't ignore who he has not left out of his application. He's not left himself out. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The writer of Hebrews knows himself, believer. And even though he has never met you, he knows you. Even though he's never met you, he knows you, believer. He knows sadly what it is possible to do because of the battle you have to face, are facing and will continue to face against the world, the flesh, and the devil until you leave this dying world at your own personal death or the glorious return of your only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For never forget, unless the Holy Spirit is pleased to open and change the dead heart of a non-believer because he or she is one for whom Christ died in the covenant of redemption between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past, they can read the Bible, but they do not think that what they are reading or hearing has any application to them. But what do you know, believer? You know that the Bible was infallibly inspired by God the Holy Spirit for the salvation and sanctification of those who personally confess Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And one of the evidences of true regeneration and ongoing sanctification is you know something about the Bible, believer. You know it is written for your instruction, and you know it is written for your protection. The writer of Hebrews knows who he is writing to. He is writing to believers and warning them and challenging them not to let slip the glorious truth that he has been declaring about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you take this warning and this challenge seriously. Because you know the enemies you face that do not want you to take it seriously. So that what he says in this written book, the Holy Bible, in verse 1 of chapter 2, about not letting the things of Christ slip away from your understanding and personal application is something you take seriously, believer. Because as I said, he's not writing to non-believers. Because ask yourself this question. What non-believer ever thinks, I have to give more earnest heed to the things I have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? How many non-believers
Ever think that? More earnest heed? What are you talking about? No non-believer thinks he needs to give more earnest personal heed to the things of Christ. He looks upon Christians who do as strange, as peculiar. The non-believer has no interest in the glorious revealed truths declared about the Lord Jesus Christ in the previous verses and chapter. The exact opposite is true. And before you were saved, believer, you know this was true about you. And friends, I'm not blowing smoke. I'm not saying something that is not true. Because if you were to ask a non-believer on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not important and 10 being supremely important, how important is it to you to give the more earnest things you have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? How important is it to you? Not only would they not be able to tell you anything about the wonderful truths declared about Jesus Christ in chapter 1, but they would probably look at you like you were talking to them in a foreign language. What are you talking about? Give the more earnest heed to the things I've heard about Jesus Christ. What things are there to hear about Jesus Christ? The only time I hear the name of Jesus Christ is when I or a co-worker get frustrated and use it as one of the best swear words in America today. Or when I go to a movie and the same thing happens to someone on the movie screen. More earnest heed to the things I have heard about Christ. Are you telling me I should swear more? Perish the thought. Oh, how many who say they know, even love the Bible, but show that they do not know what the Bible teaches or love what it teaches, because what is this one verse telling you, believer? It is telling you that the things that it reveals and declares about the Lord Jesus Christ are truths that you are to give the more earnest heed to and not let them slip. And the writer's use, as I said, of the word we shows he knows who he is writing to those who have shown in some way that they have heard the things he has written about and embraced them. But notice, as I said, he does not exclude himself. Now, he will reinforce what he writes in this opening verse of chapter 2 in the next verses, but don't fail to notice what he is not afraid to admit. He knows that he needs to do the same things that he is telling those he is writing to. Yet how many people show that they do not understand the purpose of the Bible because they think that the last thing any preacher or teacher should do is make what the Bible teaches and declares applicable to them? Oh, now you're meddling. But the writer is not only doing this, he is including himself in what he's writing. He is not sitting in some ivory tower bunker. He knows the enemies that true believers in Christ face because he faces them as well. Anyone who says it is the sad state of affairs in the church when the preacher thinks the Bible should be personally applied is in a sorry state. Oh, what a sobering testimony to the condition of someone's soul to think that the Bible should not be personally applied. Because anyone who says that the Bible is not the most practical and relevant book in existence, regardless of the calendar date, is showing they've not heard this one. Because, believer, what do you know? You know you need the truth of this one. You know you need it. You need to read it, remember it, and listen to what it says when it's preached. Because you know the enemies you face. even as the writer of Hebrews does personally. Now, what follows this super practical, therefore, is something the author knows you and I need to do personally, brethren. You have to do something so that something else does not happen. For example, you're driving a car, and you look up ahead, and there's a whole bunch of red lights, and there's a red light above those cars, and you're going at 30 miles an hour. What do you have to do so you don't hit those cars? You've got to put the brakes on. If I don't want to hit those cars, there's something I got to do. I got to put the brakes on, and so you put the brakes on. Hopefully. As long as you're not distracted by your smartphone. Is that really a smartphone when it distracts you so they can drive safely? What do you need to do? Therefore, we ought to give even more earnest things to the things which we have heard. And why do you need to do this? So that what he writes at the end of the verse does not happen, lest at any time we should let them slip. Notice what the writer is saying, friends. The things you hear about Christ, the things you read about Christ in chapter 1, and hopefully rightly divided in addition to all that the Bible reveals and declares to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, you are to pay the more earnest heed to, not less. Lest you let them slip. These glorious truths about Christ, these awesome truths about Christ, are not truths that you are file away in your mind as interesting but not important. As interesting but of no practical value and use in your life. No. You and I are to give the more earnest heed to them. Now, I'm not going to do this. But if I was to stop the service at this point and hand out a sheet of paper and have you list the things that he has written about Christ in the previous chapter, how many of them could you write down and tell me why that truth about Christ is important to you? So important to you that you know you have to personally give more earnest heed to it. He's preaching to us, brethren. He's speaking to us, brethren, in this one verse. But not only you, how many can I? Oh, you're a preacher. You got all the notes. Give me a piece of paper. How many could I write down from memory? Because I know how important they are. How many could I? And notice, he doesn't say, listen to the devil. Because remember, believer, the devil hates anywhere the Word of God is faithfully preached. So what is he going to do? He is going to say, this is important truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. You had better remember it and apply it. He's not going to say that. He's going to do the exact opposite. For how many of the things about the Lord Jesus Christ that you could not write down on a piece of paper, even though you have heard them hopefully correctly opened up, but you would not be able to write them down because you have heard me expound on them, but the word stealing, crafty voice of the devil was telling you something as well when I was preaching. He was telling you, you know this. He was telling you, you know this. He was telling you, you've heard this before. He was telling you what the preacher is telling you about Christ is nothing new. It's the old story that he is God incarnate, sinless humanity in union with the eternal deity and the person of the Son of God who willingly laid down his sinless life to save his people from their sins. You know this! You've heard it before! What the preacher is telling you is something you've heard about Christ before. He's telling you about it again? Can he preach on something else? Can he preach on someone else? Friends,
friends, the writer of Hebrews is not writing under any other inspiration than the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit knows what you need to be told and challenged with. Not only you, but me. But lest anyone say, yes, the devil made me forget, and not heed and remember the things I have heard about Christ. Believer, remember, the devil is the tempter. The devil is the tempter. He can tempt you even as he tempted your one and only Savior in the desert. He can tempt you, and the world under his blinding control can tempt you to think that the things of Christ are not things you need to give the more earnest heed to. But what does the writer of Hebrews know? What do you know, believer? The writer tells you what you ought to do. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, because he knows what it is possible for him to do. And he knows it's possible for him and for you and for me, believer. He knows what is possible for me to do. He knows what it's possible for you to do, for any true believer in Christ to sadly do. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Because notice, the writer does not say, lest we let the devil cause us to let them slip. He does not say, lest we let the world cause us to let them slip. Oh yes, these are all enemies aligned against you, giving more earnest heed to the things that you have heard about Christ. But believer, if God was to mute the world, if God was to mute the world, if God was to mute the devil, and by mute I mean what you can do with music or the TV with that controller. You can mute the volume so you don't have to listen to 2 minutes of all the side effects of a new pill. But believer, if the Lord God was to mute the devil, if the Lord God was to mute the world so that they could not tempt you to not heed the things you have heard about Christ, what does the writer of Hebrews know? Lest at any time we should let them slip. The devil can tempt you to let the things of Christ slip. The world can give you the impression that the things of Christ are the last thing you should see is important. But who is the writer focusing on in this one verse? Not the world, not the devil, himself, you, me. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Now the word translated slip is only used here in the New Testament. In its non-biblical usage, it refers to a ship or a boat drifting without anchor. Like a boat, it becomes unmoored, and then because of the current, drifts away from where it was tied up. So unless something is done, the boat, the current will carry it away. If no resistance is applied, who knows where that boat could end up. You, believer, as an individual believer, if you let the world, if you let the devil give you the false and dangerous impression that the things of Christ are not as important as they are, friends, if you offer the world, the flesh, the world, the devil, and your flesh no resistance, you are an unmoored Christian. You are not heeding what the writer says. You must give the more earnest heed to the things you have heard, lest you let them slip. Drift away. I don't need to make sure the boat is moored securely. I've done it 99 times before. I don't need to make sure that the stove is off. I've checked it 5 times before going out the door. I don't need to hear the gospel again. I've heard it 100 times. Lest we let them slip. Friends, should real persecution come to the true church in America, what is the Holy Spirit going to draw on so that you don't go along with the crowd into apostasy and error? The things you know about the world, or the things you know and believe about the Lord Jesus Christ?
And should the Lord be pleased to give you a deathbed in His sovereignty over death and the death of everyone, what is going to be a blessing to your departing soul? Being able to remember and apply the things that the world and the devil tell you are important?
What good are the things of the world and the devil? When death is... But will the things of Christ you give the more earnest heed to, so as not to let them slip minister to your departing soul?
I knew I needed to give and gave the more earnest heed to the things of Christ, so that they do not slip out of my understanding and drift away from what I believe about Christ. And oh, what a blessing it is to be able to remember them in the midst of this great trial. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is no believer's debtor. You give the more earnest heed to the things you have heard about Him. His Spirit is going to bring them back to your remembrance when you need them, and you will be blessed by them.
And friends, name me a time when some truth about the Lord Jesus Christ cannot bless, benefit, and protect your soul.
And the interesting thing about this one verse is there's nothing specific about Christ Jesus mentioned in this one verse, but this one verse is filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what is the writer telling you? He is telling you that one of the most spiritually dangerous things you can do is let the things of Christ slip and drift away rather than doing what He says in the first part of this verse. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things you have heard. Heard about who? About Christ. Give the more earnest heed to them, not less. Why? Lest at any time you should let them slip. Now, in light of the Christ-centered practicality of this one verse, I want to close addressing two very simple things. What are some evidences that you are letting the things of Christ slip? I'm not going to be exhaustive. Maybe you'll think of some of your own. And if the Holy Spirit says, yes, there's an area where you're letting the things of Christ slip, praise God for that. What are some evidences that you are letting the things of Christ slip? And how can you give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard about Christ so as not to let them slip? So first, what are some evidences that you are letting the things of Christ, the glorious truths of Christ, slip, drift away? Personal worship of the Lord, whether public or private, becomes less of a priority and an enjoyment that it once was. What does the psalmist King David say in Psalm 122, verse 1? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Notice what the psalmist showing again, the personal nature of true worship. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because when I go into the house of the Lord, I'm going to see things about the Lord, and I'm going to praise Him and magnify His name.
When these things become not important to you, slipping. And friends, I am a number of months, if ever, in the sovereign providence of the Lord from reaching Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The writer is not using what he writes in these verses as a club to hit people over the head with who have no personal desire to publicly worship the Lord with His people. He is exhorting them and telling them why the threat of losing their possessions, of losing their freedom, should not prevent them from freely, willingly, publicly meeting together with other believers. Why? Because the day is approaching when you're going to see them. The day is approaching when you're going to see them. And when that day arrives, believer, would you want the Lord to know that the fellowship of the saints, the encouragement of the saints, the help of the saints was important to you or not? But if the fellowship of the saints where the things of Christ are not central is not important to you, you are already doing what the writer is warning you about. Dear brethren, how many will go to a place of worship because I heard on Friday that there's a fellowship. The music is so loud they give out hearing protectors to people when they come in.
I'm there for the music!
What about Christ?
What about Christ? Do you want to hear something about Christ?
His glorious person, his glorious work, his finished work, his resurrection, his ascension, his glorious return? I mentioned this before, but it's so appropriate. I thank the Lord for a departed sister. She would say this to me more than once. Thankfully, I know what she's meaning now as I get older. She would occasionally say to me, thankfully it was only occasionally, if it was a lot, I think she'd be rebuking me a lot. She would say, not much of Christ in that message. Not much of Christ in that message. No, I know what you mean in life. You can let them slip. Oh, you can get onto this topic and you can get onto that topic. But every topic should bring you back to Christ in some way.
Remember, believer, the world is not going to tell you to give the more earnest heed to the things you've heard about Christ,
but other believers will.
Another evidence that you are letting the things of Christ slip is that you think there is nothing new for you to learn. You think there's nothing new for you to learn about Christ or truth about Christ that you need to be reminded of.
Because if you've got a brain like mine, my brain is full of holes. It's a sieve. I can remember all the wrong things. It's so hard to remember the things of Christ. Because I need it.
The disciplines of personal prayer and Bible study and meditation, if they become routine and not as important as other things,
then you're starting to slip. You're starting to drift.
Friends, if you are just using a Bible reading plan, and I encourage the use of some Bible reading plan that you enjoy, change it, use something different, use whatever you want. I encourage the use of a Bible reading plan, but if all you are doing is using a Bible reading plan so you can say, I read the Bible through again, you are drifting away from the purpose of this tool. Has this tool enabled you to remember things about Christ better, see truths about Christ better, rejoice in truths about Christ more fully and personally? How can you give more earnest thing to the things which you have heard? Remember, it is you who is doing the hearing, not just the one sitting beside you. Yes, pray, Lord. May the preached word be a blessing and benefit to my brother or sister in Christ today. But Lord, help me not to be a stony ground hearer. Help me not to be a stony ground. Praise and thank the Lord if you can say this has been true in your life. Praise and thank the Lord if there have been times, and I hope there are many of these, when you can say, I felt as if the preacher is preaching as if I was the only one in the sanctuary. Preach to someone else! Why are you preaching to me?
Praise God for such times.
Don't ask that they would decrease, but that they would increase. Lord, your word is being held forth. Use it however you want to use it. in my soul. You are the potter, I am the clay, mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Never tire of asking yourself after you have heard the preached word, especially if the preacher or teacher is saying something about Jesus Christ. Is this something about Christ that I should be giving the more earnest heed to? But it is what they are saying, something that is true about Christ, but I don't know if it's true.
Then you have to give the more earnest heed by being Berean. Not just say, oh, well, it must be true because, look, he's animated again. He's jumping up and down. He's hitting the pulpit. It's got to be true. You use that argument, dear brethren, and you've got to say the false worshipers of Diana were true because for 2 hours they cried out, praise Diana.
Diana's got to be true because who can stand for 2 hours and say,
some preachers don't preach the way I do. I know that. I know I get animated. If you think my animation means that it's true, you're drifting. Study the Word. The preacher said this about the Lord Jesus Christ today. He opened up this verse. Is that a right view, understanding of who Jesus Christ is? I need to give more earnest heed to this.
And if it is a truth you have not seen about Christ before, thank the Lord for showing Himself to you better. And if it is something about Christ you had forgotten, you know you need the truth of Hebrews 2, verse 1. You have let the truth about Christ slip away from your mind as unimportant. Friends, no revealed truth about the Lord Jesus Christ is unimportant if you are giving more earnest heed to them by seeking to personally remember them and thanking the Lord for showing them to you. But what is the real danger? You will let them slip. You'll let them drift. Don't let the fact that you have read the Bible through once, if you had, don't let that fact deaden you to the truth that you still have to give the more earnest heed to the things you have heard in your personal reading. Praise the Lord when you can see a truth about Christ in the Word for the first time, but thank Him and ask Him to enable you to see it better and marvel at it more. Lord, I never want to take for granted any truth about You that I have heard before, read before, or will read about or hear preached about again. Friends, what blindness is displayed by the world? For people will spend their hard-earned money.
Well, in some cases, it's not too hard-earned if they're on social assistance, but
people will spend their hard-earned money to purchase tickets to some professional sporting event and then be willing to endure cold seats and $5 hot dogs to sit through something I already know the outcome to. Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. Somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose the 7th game of the World Series.
And on Judgment Day is who won and who lost going to make any difference? But what about giving the more earnest heed to the things you have heard about Christ and not let them slip? When you slip out of this world in death, how much of a blessing do you think giving more heed to the things of Christ and not letting them slip will be to your departing soul?
Friends, keeping your eyes on Jesus will bless you in time and it will bless you throughout eternity. Don't let your eyes slip, but also pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, help my brother and sister in Christ. Give them more earnest heed to the things he or she has heard about Christ. And unless you are a hypocrite, which I hope you are not, what will that prayer cause you to do? Remember that what you are asking for your brother or sister in Christ is something that you need to remember and apply as well.
Because as I close, what is the therefore of Hebrews 2, verse 1, therefore? It is there to tell you, it is there to tell all who personally confess Christ what to do, so what He says will happen if we don't, will not happen. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Has the word of the Lord spoken to you this morning? Is giving more personal heed to the things of Christ something you see as important? Or have you already let them slip because I just used the words as I thought? Oh, message is over. Shift. Thinking. Shift. What's important? Think about the things of Christ. After a message has been preached, let us pray. Oh Lord, the writer will say this later in this letter, that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even the bones down to the marrow. And oh Lord, it pierces our hearts, it pierces our minds, it challenges us. It exposes us, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that it helps us. Because if we were not the way we are in this fallen world and still indwelling fallen bodies, if we confess Christ, the writer would never have had to have written what he wrote. But he wrote it because he knew not only himself, but he knew the battle that true believers would have to face against allowing the things of Christ to drift away. And so, Lord, may something I have said in this message be useful to your spirit to help those who have heard, including myself, not to let these wonderful things slip away, but to give the more earnest heed to them, and all the more as we see the day approaching when we will see Him as He is. We ask in His wonderful name. Amen.